Thanks, Lizzie. Thanks, Lizzie.
And now, you're listening to Roddy, Carlos, and Ryan on Inside the Huddle.
This is Inside the Huddle on the GoMileHigh.com, a part of the Be On Air Network. We're here. This is Roddy, Rod, and Ryan. Yeah, I love this Van Halen tribute. And I hate to be a bearer of bad news, if you're just now finding out, Eddie Van Halen had just passed away with throat cancer.
So sad.
Yeah, definitely like one of the legends has just like just passed away recently. So sad. I'm not a big Van Halen fan, but of course, you know, it's a household name, and you know, just gotta give him a moment of pause. So like one of the pioneers. What do you think?
He's the best. Next to Jimmy. It's unfortunate, you know. Neil Peart, one of the greatest drummers in the world, passed away again this year. You know, passed away this year, and they're all in rock and roll heaven with David Bowie and everyone else. But being crazy in 2020 as it is, let's talk about our 2020 Week 4 football weekend.
Yeah, it was definitely a 2020 day, a weekend, definitely. Yeah. I mean, this is a sports show. We're gonna talk about sports, though.
Yes.
The first thing, I mean. Besides the cancellation of, you know, Pittsburgh and the Titans, that kind of hurt my fantasy teams, and they just moved it to what week 7, I believe.
Yes, week 7. Yeah,
week 7, and then Cam Newton catching the coronavirus.
Wow.
And we're gonna hit on that later. But what games did you kind of feel like this week?
Not to talk about, you know, my being biased about the Eagles and 49ers, but that surprised me. I love the fact that everyone picked San Francisco to win, just with all the injuries San Francisco has. And the Eagles, it was a must-win for them. I thought that was a pretty exciting game. It wasn't as great as some other games that played around the NFL. I know the NFL, through week 4, broke a lot of records with high-scoring games.
Right.
But Philly, they finally – and they're in first place. That's why I'm bringing this up. I can't believe it. They're first place with one,
the
two,
NFC least.
And
the
one.
The NFC least. Oh, man, that's so just a terrible, terrible division. Oh, wow. What game you like this week, Ryan?
You know, one of the games that I wasn't able to actually see many games on Sunday, but I went through and watched the highlights. My guy, Justin Herbert, over in
– Yeah.
Yes.
That was so cool to see. So I've been following him since his freshman year at Oregon. I'm a big Oregon fan. And this is very a la his freshman year, where he was putting the product on the field that you could get excited for. There's potential. The wins didn't come right away, but then eventually they did. And I think that's what's going to happen with Herbert. For him to do what he's done so far in these 2 weeks unexpectedly, I think that was kind of the coolest thing for me.
And he came in.
Yeah,
not expected to really play, like, and he fired it up.
And if you guys remember correctly, you know, during the draft season, people were really down on him. You know, it was Tua, everybody was talking about, and if you ended up with Herbert, it was like
Joe Burrow.
Yeah, exactly, Joe Burrow. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you ended up with Herbert, it was like, oh man, you're getting the worst of the three options. And it's
I never
thought that, but
he gave Tom Brady a run for his money. Brady had to throw 5 touchdowns to keep up with that kid. I mean, he still came out the victor there, but I see Justin Herbert is definitely going to be a future starter, and I feel so sorry for Tyrod Taylor, because you lost your job against, you know,
out of
his control. But yeah, he's not getting that job back.
Nah, his quarterback rating was 86 on the dot.
It was near perfect
compared to Tom Brady's 85.
He played an outstanding game. Besides the one game I did watch was the Bears and the
course you did.
Cowboys.
The Bears and the Colts.
Colts, yeah.
We're not going to talk about that. I was going to talk about the – we're going to talk about the
– 11 points in a week where everybody's putting up points.
I'm not going to talk about that. What I'm going to talk about the Cowboys and the Bengals. That was a pretty entertaining game because the boys lost. I love that they lost.
Worst defense ever.
Worst defense. But that was – they put on the show. That game wasn't on Dak Prescott. A lot of people are gonna blame Dak Prescott, but it wasn't on Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott played 38 points. Come on, I mean, of course the Cleveland Browns. I mean, Odell Beckham went off.
Yeah, he did. He did his Odell Beckham thing, where like a couple times a year he shows us why he is so special.
I miss this Odell Beckham. I mean, heck, I didn't believe this Odell Beckham existed anymore. I mean, once he got paid,
we hadn't seen much of it, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think it was gonna happen with the Browns. I thought the Browns was kind of shopping away from him. I mean, he had 5 receptions, 81 yards, 2 touchdowns. Not to mention the end of round run.
73 yards rushing.
Yeah, 73 yards rushing.
Yeah.
And 1 touchdown.
So
carries.
I wanted to ask y'all, since we're talking about the Cowboys and how terrible their defense was, giving up 49 points, this has been what I've seen so far in 4 weeks, some of the worst defense we've ever seen in the NFL.
True. Oh, yeah.
So how would you feel right now if you're a Cowboys fan and you're the worst of the worst? Like,
they in the NFC East, they're going to still make the playoffs. Right, that's the thing. Right. They're going to make the playoffs regardless. They're going to – I mean, the NFC East is basically, what, 3 wins. What 3 wins, what, 9 losses, and a tie. And a tie. That's the whole conference. This is crazy.
It's been the worst since 1989.
This is just insane. Wow. We're in week 4, and nobody's above 1 victory in the whole division. That is just insane.
I just can't believe it. I mean, I thought last year was just a fluke. I mean, granted, you know, like the Eagles and the Cowboys had to play the last game of the year or to find out who's going to go in on a 8-7 or 8-8 or 9-7.
Right.
And it's just like, it's just phenomenal. And, you know, we just think, okay, this year is going to be better. No.
Well, no. I mean, the thing that gets me, honestly, is like you have Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys, who they throw all the money out every year. And then you have Philadelphia Eagles, you know, your Philadelphia Eagles, who are Super Bowl champions as of recent. And it's like we can't come up with a better product in the division.
No.
I mean, you guys, the bare minimum of the division is the Washington football team. Come on now.
I love that name, by the way. I love that name. The Washington football team is just giving you the greatest the name it is. But, after the break, we're going to be talking about how COVID affected the NFL season this year. So stay tuned. This is the Inside the Huddle on the GoldMileHigh.com.
What does it take to be on air? It's not just the personality, though it does help. It takes drive, creativity, passion, and the willingness to develop yourself and truly find what makes you special. At Go Mile High, students are given this chance to become something great. You never know. Someone you're hearing right now could be the next big thing, and you could be the first to know how it all started. So keep listening, because you never know what's next on GoMileHigh.com.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know, from getting all this great experience working in college radio. It makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
Hey, Colorado sports fans, you're listening to GoMileHigh.com, a student-operated station live from the Colorado Media School Studios here in Belmar, giving you a different perspective on all things current.
Stop torturing yourself, man! Live in the now!
So stay tuned to see what's coming up next on GoMileHigh.com, Colorado's sports lifestyle.
Showing!
So I'm taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama.
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence, flowing robes, grace, bald, striking really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing.
Oh.
See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed two eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Lama.
Uh-huh.
They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
This is Inside the Huddle on GoMileHigh.com, a part of the Be On Air Network. Check us out on GoMileHigh on Facebook, GoMileHigh on Twitter. And you, if you got a chance to call, 303-937-6548. You're here with the Triple R's, Roddy, Ryan, and Rodriguez.
Nice.
So we are talking about COVID and how it's affecting the NFL season, being that we have had to reschedule two games, the Steelers and the Titans, and we had to reschedule that to week 7. And yeah. Cam Newton coming down with COVID-19, and that had to be rescheduled to yesterday, Monday night. So what do you feel about what's going to happen with the NFL if they come down with more cases of the COVID?
Well, yesterday, the NFL, Roger Goodell and organization put – I want to say threats, but ultimatums of, I think they were really pointing at the Titans because the Titans screwed up. They had like 10, 12, you know, people positive for COVID. And then you have Cam Newton, who was the only one that had COVID on the Patriots. And there's one-offs in other teams. And they're really being sticklers of saying, look, Titans and everyone else, shape up.
Yeah.
And I don't know about the forfeit thing, you know, but
can you tell us? I don't really know too much about the forfeit thing. Could you expound on that at all?
So the NFL released a statement yesterday that yes, there's always going to be fines. Mm-hmm. Not wearing your mask. You know, David Carr got fined. Waller, you know, on the Vegas Raiders.
Nice.
Chucky got fined. That's $100,000.
They all got
$100,000
for not wearing masks.
$100,000, just not wearing a mask. That'll make me put on a mask. I don't care how rich I am. Yeah.
So David Carr went to a charity event with his wife, and there was a picture of him on social media without his mask on.
Mm-hmm.
And he fought back, stating, "Look, my wife has been in the house for 4 months,
mm-hmm.
and she asked me to go to this one event. We went. We wore a mask. We did everything we could, you know, to prevent COVID. They sat down at their table, and then they took off their mask, and they get a snapshot of him not wearing a mask.
Completely out of context.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But perception is reality.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the NFL is just like really, really irritated at what can happen in the future. And we'll talk about that later. But they put down all these ultimatums like, okay, don't wear a mask. You get a fine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Don't go out. You might get a fine. And if you have another team like the Titans that had to postpone a game,
mm-hmm.
you have to forfeit the game.
Oh, wow. So they're not even pushing it. They're just saying
to forfeit it.
Yep.
Just forfeit it and the other team wins.
That's not going to work for Vegas, though.
No.
That is definitely not going to work for Vegas. I mean, to sit up there and just straight forfeit a game. I mean, I understand that COVID.
You're talking about gambling.
I'm talking about gambling. Yeah. And I'm talking about the game itself. I'm talking about the fan experience.
Not the Raiders.
But I'm just saying, like, yeah, the fan experience itself. If you start forfeiting games out here, I mean, don't even put on a show for the fans. That's just going to just – watch NFL ratings just drop, and then Major League Baseball just like, yeah, we're coming back for this number one title in here. Mm-hmm. But I don't see them forfeiting games. I think that's just a threat. It's not gonna happen. I believe that's me personally.
Forfeiting a game, players are gonna lose money.
Organizations are gonna lose money.
Right.
Networks is gonna lose money.
The brand itself will lose money. The NFL brand.
The NFL. I understand you have to do what you got to do, but I don't believe that this is gonna be the nail in the coffin, take the cake thing. So
what do you think? I mean, the reason why I think that the game yesterday with the Chiefs and,
Patriots.
And the Patriots, I mean, you had Jim Nantz and, oh, my God. Jesus.
You're talking about
anyway, they had their whole team
was
there.
Was it Romo?
Yeah, Romo. They had the trucks there, all the people there. They were like, yeah, wait a minute. We're going to have a game here. It's too much money at stake.
It's definitely.
And for the future, we'll talk about that later, but the whole thing is COVID has affected the NFL, as we knew.
As we knew going to the start.
Yep.
You know, I called it, many weeks ago that after week three, it's going to go downhill. And
I do remember you actually saying that a couple weeks back.
Yeah,
that's
so
interesting.
I that was my prediction, and here we are.
Do you think this is the last game, or do you think this is going to tighten up, or more COVID games are going to happen?
Let me interject for just a second. I'm a little bit confused on this whole situation because, from what I know about the NFL, it seems to be a little bit of a money grab situation.
Definitely.
Yeah. And so if they're going to postpone – or not just postpone a game, but they're going to make a team forfeit, then no money can be made, like you mentioned, with for the fan experience with Vegas. I'm confused on what they want here.
They want no cases of COVID. Well, and I think it's kind of an impossible way unless the NFL even thinks about going into a bubble. Again, we'll talk about that next segment. But I don't see that being a possibility. I mean, the players are going to have to travel regardless. You're going to get in contact with somebody. And the science says we're supposed to have a huge uptick in the wintertime. Yep. And football has played their best games in the winter, so you're going to have more COVID games. This is what they're going to do afterwards when they get these COVID games. That's going to dictate if the NFL can even finish the season.
Right.
And
are the teams going to have enough depth to get through a 16-game season?
Well, we talked about that last week. Yeah.
Okay.
We were talking about almost like if it was a strike year.
Oh, yeah.
Like bringing in scrubs. Like they're just bringing in people off the street from the NFL.
XFL, the Canadian Football League.
And just keep it going.
Shoot, hey, Gabe.
I would hate to be a GM right now.
Oh, hey,
that'd
I
be
mean,
a tough gig right now.
We're about five players away from being trying out for the Denver Broncos out here. I mean, it's possible. I don't know. I might buy a ticket and, I might end up playing receiver or tight end.
I was going to say, Roddy, you're a pretty big boy over there. You might be able to fill in that right tackle role.
Right tackle? No, shoot. That's where that right tackle.
Broncos,
whoever's quarterback is gonna get sacked. I'm telling you that.
They were gonna anyway. So it's all
so the Broncos released a statement also to their season ticket holders that only 5,700 fans in the stadium from here on out to throughout the end of the year, and other stadiums. I don't know what they're doing yet. Some are playing some. Last night watching Lambeau Field
with no fans.
No fans. But
how do you do the Lambo leap with no fans?
Yeah,
you can't.
Like I care.
Yeah, right. So it's so still just surreal. It is still just so surreal of what is going on.
Doesn't it kind of feel like we jumped off the dock before we knew what we were jumping
definitely.
Into?
Oh yeah. Definitely.
You know, and it's like, I just, it's hard for me to sit back here as this, as a humble 30-year-old taxpaying citizen who makes next to nothing, and these men who are paid millions of dollars to be in charge of these leagues, and they can't come up with contingency plans. Like, have 45 plans in case you have a COVID. Yeah. You're paid millions of dollars. Give me 45 plans. Like, I just don't understand the ineptitude that all of these people in power for these different, not all of these sports, because NHL, they did it right.
Right.
You know,
NBA.
NBA is doing a pretty good job. You know,
they did
that
it right.
And they're
good
doing
job. They did it a perfect, I think.
Right. But with the NFL, you can't do a bubble. There are too many people, too many moving parts. You think?
I think I can, but we're going to talk about that next segment.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just think that it's possible that the NFL is doing it. It's just not going to be feasible for, like you said, all these people getting paid millions upon millions of dollars just to have a contingency plan in place. I just don't see that they did that. I think they just thought about the money aspect of it. Okay. And they know that football is king of the sports in America.
100%.
I mean, it's football, and there is no even close second. Maybe NBA is catching up, but it's not even close second. So they thought about the league dominance of their brand and just said, I don't even think they really care about their players as much, to be honest with you. And I hate to say it that way, but I mean, like you said, they don't have no contingency plans. They're not really holding strict
guidelines
to these people. Like, coaches are on the field not wearing their masks, TV and stuff.
Money.
So nobody's really kind of taking it seriously until, okay, I'll give you a $100,000 fine, which is next to nothing to these guys' paychecks.
Oh, especially to Gruden.
Yeah, so
he has that in his pocket.
But it's kind of crazy that they came through this. So
it, and you know, now the Steelers, they're hosting the Eagles this weekend. You know, it's posted on ESPN. They're allowing 5,500 fans. But you saw the Chiefs game last night.
There was more than 16.
Oh my God!
There was more than 16,000 fans there. They said it was only 16. It was more than 16. But, I mean, not saying that it was. I can't doubt it. I didn't count them. But it looked like it was more than 16.
But my thing is,
it was somewhat loud there. It was somewhat loud.
The Steelers are hosting 5,500. Broncos only 5,700. Lambeau, zero. These are big market football teams.
Yep.
And then you got the Chiefs in a smaller market. Yet they won the Super Bowl and They had 20,000 people in there. I think they were just like opening up the gates and it's like, come on in. And
they just paid Patrick Mahomes $500 million. They need fans back into that stadium.
We're gonna get our money's worth. Yeah. We're gonna get some players in the stadium. He's gonna play this year. If he's the only one playing, he's gonna play this year.
He won't have a team to quarterback in 6 years.
Throw the football. It's just crazy. He's gonna play.
Yeah.
Nobody's there. He's gonna play. Oh, he got COVID. He's gonna throw in his house.
He's gonna.
500 million. He's gonna throw.
He's gonna play. But see, Rod, what you're talking about is absolutely true. Like, it's very confusing to the normal fan out here when you're looking at all these different games. And I know it's a state-to-state situation.
Right.
But ultimately, you are a uniform league. Mm-hmm. So and this is another broad spectrum. We back in the NFL, you know, uniforms used to look the same. You look at uniforms on these players nowadays, it's wild. But
they should have had an emergency owners meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They should have had an emergency owners meeting. And with Roger Goodell, and we'll go from there.
That is a hot take, and we're going to have to continue this conversation on the next break. This is Inside the Huddle on GoldMileHigh.com, part of the BLNL Network.
Dirty young Popsy, we must make it back to Camelot so I can listen to GoldMileHigh.com.
Oh, who goes there?
It is I, King Arthur, on his mighty steed. Let me in the castle at once. I must get to my quarters to listen in to the best in Colorado's sports lifestyle programming.
But, sir, don't we live in medieval Wales?
No, Popsy, you mustn't ask questions when I'm listening about my beloved Broncos. Ah, GoMileHigh.com.
I'm taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy-dingy to the Lama,
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminations, flowing robes, grace, bald, striking, really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing. Oh. See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed 2 eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Lama. They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
Hey, man. What's wrong?
I'm feeling lost.
Lost?
Yeah. I feel like my choices in life aren't getting me anywhere. And I feel like I don't have a voice.
Well, did you know that the Colorado Media School is the perfect way for you to get that outlet?
Really?
Yeah. Because at the Colorado Media School, you can have a voice. Enrollment starts today. So find your voice at beonair.com. It's changed my life. Let it change yours.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know, from getting all this great experience working in college radio. It makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
This is Inside the Huddle. Yeah, we are representing Eddie Van Halen on his passing going on here. But we're going to continue to talk about COVID in the NFL. And my thing is, like, how are we going to work with solutions when more COVID games happen? Are we going to have more bye weeks or what? Do you have any solutions?
I like the conversation we had at lunch today that taking a 2-week break, but you also brought up to the fact that if in division, divisional games.
Yeah. If we get another like massive COVID, another Tennessee Titans team that gets, 10 players infected, most of their staffs infected with the COVID virus, the NFL really going to have to look into taking like a 2-week break and making different bubbles for different conferences, different divisions, I should say. You know, the NFC, each division has a play day game, play their within their conference at least 2 games, divisional games twice, and then you got the AFC, like say for the NFC East or the NFC Least, they will have to play their divisional games out, and then you have the AFC East play the NFC East and just keep the bubble within each division. So I think that's your best bet if you want to keep a full season in the NFL. You got to scrap the season altogether. There's no more flying from East Coast to West Coast. You're just spreading, this COVID disease all around. I don't see that happening.
So instead of doing inter-rival, no, keep it with the inter-rival.
Keep it with the inter-rivals. Yeah.
Keep it and just.
We're just going to see crappy games.
So no more. Chiefs against the Giants or
no.
Just go ahead and go down to the end.
No more.
Almost like a round robin kind of thing.
No more Chargers versus Tampa Bay. You stop all that. Just keep it within your region.
But what, and I feel that, but what if an outbreak were to then occur in that situation, then all of a sudden one of the four teams
then the season
is
done. You tried everything. You did everything you could. Mm-hmm. I don't see it. I don't see a bubble like the NBA and NHL in the NFL. It's just as logistically impossible, to my point.
And that's what I was thinking, where it's just there are so many hundreds of people, or like 200 people, that go into the production of just one football team every Sunday. Mm-hmm. And so you imagine, you times that by, you know, four, got 800 people in this bubble. I mean, man, that's
pretty good. Because, you know, you got like, you know, you at least got 10 games a week, mm-hmm. 10 to 13 games a week. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to be able to pull that off in Walt Disney World. Mm-hmm. It's just not going to happen.
No.
You can't pull that off in any city, I don't think. No venue can handle that. Plus, you know, you got 55 players on each team, not even including the staff, the water boys, mm-hmm. the camera crews that's going to mm-hmm. take. You know, that's a long day for anybody. You're going to have to dip all that in one regional location. I don't see it. And then you got to keep tabs of these people at all times. Right. Oh, my God. You can imagine the fights that happen in Walt Disney World?
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
So have a game for each division, a Friday night game, Saturday game, Sunday game, and a Monday game.
Right. Hey, that's not bad.
Why not?
Actually that's the first time I heard something like that.
Well, I don't think they are going to take Saturday away because
– Yeah, Saturday is the college.
This is college, right? Yeah. So you
they got Saturday pretty much night. Every other day of the week.
Or two games on Sunday.
I mean, yeah, you got every other day of the week. There's Wednesday still available. There's Thursday. You already got Thursday. Might as well put three games on Thursday now.
I mean, on AFC West, you can go to, you know, Vegas, even though that's a hot spot. But that stadium, you can camp in tent on the sidelines. That stadium's so big. But
that's true.
You know, like what stadiums? I mean, obviously, Dallas could probably be a hold.
Jerry World, for sure.
Jerry World.
Minnesota, they just built that beautiful indoor stadium.
And on the East Coast, it's all cold, unless you want to go.
Well, Indianapolis Colts, right?
Yeah, they have a dome.
They have a dome that
they're
we could
rock. AFC South. Okay.
Yeah, so what you got for the East, the least?
And it has to be all fair because it can't be just all indoor and all sudden outdoor. It has to be all on fair ground.
Right.
That's a tough one. That's why I say it's right now, since the season is pretty much on the way, it's going to be logistically impossible to just say, okay, we're putting everybody in a bubble right now. And your fans the way it – I mean – if you do it in Jerry World, that star is going to be in the middle. You going to tell me you got a home game in Jerry's World with that star right in the middle? He's not taking off that star for nobody.
Chance. Yeah,
you know, so same thing for the Colts, same thing for Minnesota, same thing for Vegas. I mean, they're not going to take off. They're not going to do anything to just say, hey, to accommodate other teams. You're like, okay, we're going to say it's a home game, but dang if you – you know, put the Broncos thing in the Death Star.
Right, yeah. If the Broncos are playing at Jerry World, Jerry World's going to keep up with the brand and keep posting the Cowboy logo everywhere because it draws people in. And
it's just crazy.
Well, I don't know why it just came to my head. So the whole unity thing about everything that's going on in the world.
Right.
Why can't Jerry just – why can't Goodell just say, all right, Jerry, I'll give you $1 million if you just put the NFL logo on center field? Or
what does money mean?
I don't know, but I mean, just have unity and like if they're all going to play in one stadium.
Right, because it goes back to what we were saying before the break was ultimately these are is it 30 or 32 in the NFL?
32.
32. I get them mixed up with the MLB. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, it's 32 teams playing under the same umbrella of the NFL.
Right.
So you're right. Why can't we come together or the GMs come together and say, hey, for unity's sake, let's pick out two spots. Jerry World, let's say Indianapolis, where they do the combine every year. Mm-hmm. Okay. And hey, guys, you know, just for the name of the NFL, like what you're saying, just throw on the NFL sign in the middle. They're still going to be taking money in if they allow fans into the game. You know, so that's
it's all from TV, buddy.
Right. Exactly. So
I think if you get another COVID case, they can't even allow fans back in the stadium, especially in a dome like atmosphere of, you know, just being in a dome because of the disease. We still don't know much about the COVID disease.
I think the NFL,
the virus, I should say, not disease, but virus.
I've been thinking that the NFL has been following the MLB's footsteps.
Why? That's an exercise in futility, man. I mean,
no. They got the playoffs are in a bubble.
Yeah, but you talk to these players, or you listen to interviews of like the St. Louis Cardinals players who had to play what, like 37 games in 32 days or something crazy like that, mm-hmm. and then on top of it, not being able to, you know, to interact with your fan. I mean, these are humans too. I know that they're paid a lot of money, but at the end of the day, I mean, they're not sardines, you know.
Right. No.
Yeah, true. It's crazy. I mean,
And we were talking about it last week about how. Okay, if there was a game postponed until Tuesday, like the Steelers and the Titans were supposed to play tonight, you know, and then a short week in a way if they had to play this Sunday, imagine if they had a Thursday night game.
The turnaround mm-hmm. you're talking about?
Yeah.
I mean,
2 days?
And that's what we're talking about, and that's right. why we're seeing, you know, the injury bug definitely wouldn't go away if we started moving into that direction, you know?
Oh, yeah, it's the preseason. That's what you can't. I won't discredit the preseason ever again.
Right.
Period. So it's just crazy. Like I said, I really don't understand. If another COVID outbreak happens like it did in Tennessee, it's just not going to be possible for the NFL to just try to sew things up. I know the money is there and, you know, the fandom is there and everything, but it's just not. It's not feasible. It's just not feasible. I have doubts that they're going to finish the season, to be honest
yeah.
with you.
Oh, yeah.
Serious doubt that they're going to be able to finish the
hey,
season.
Hey, can I give my take real quick?
Yeah, go
hey,
ahead.
Hey, KJ.
Got just the board off and everything.
Well, we got the board up in here. Go ahead, KJ. What's up, what you got?
You know, to be honest, I really felt like the NFL should have thought this over before the season.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they should have created a week inside of the season where they have strictly makeup games.
Oh,
or you have 2 weeks within the season, one early after like what week 5 or 6, and then one later like after week 13 or 14,
mm-hmm.
because you knew this was going to happen. So because you didn't have a strategic plan, you're looking at the evidence of it. And truth be told, we knew COVID was going to happen. So
I mean,
the NFL should have done a better job of preparing. And I really think if they had implemented what I was thinking, you could have offset teams having to give up bye weeks.
Right.
Because if you designate times for that, we're going to be watching the playoffs in January and February anyway, because there's not going to be, you know, many sports on at that time anyway. So truth be told, they have the spotlight. They had more time than what they thought to do it right. I just wish they would have thought it out a little bit more.
You know what?
It's a good take.
I like NASCAR. I'm not a huge NASCAR fan, but I think they've done it right too, in a way of, You can't talk to each other. You can't do anything. You get in a race car, and every first lap 28, it's a free pass. Everyone goes into the pits and do their adjustments. So that's short term, you know, for each race.
Sure.
So if there was something like that in the NFL, like, all right, everyone gets a bye week.
Yep. Yeah, let's –
Like after every 4 weeks.
Let's take a step back, pick up the pieces. I like that idea, KJ, where it's like, we're going to look at this from outside of the box. We're gonna know that it's here. We're going to learn from the MLB mm-hmm. and know that this is some team is going to, you know, screw it. Some moron's going to go out and, you know, have to get his chicken wings and,
right.
you know, some sort of COVID situation will happen.
Right.
But nonetheless, like, I really like what you're saying there, KJ, where it's like, yeah, be above this. Take a step back. Implement a week. Two different weeks in the season where we can say, okay, hey, you guys are playing this week because you got shortchanged 2 weeks ago.
That was a good hot take. That's all the time we have on the subject right now. This is Inside the Huddle on GoMileHigh.com.
We're talking about hot seats next.
Oh, hot seats next.
If it's great radio you're looking for, then you're in the right place. Because at GoMileHigh.com, we have tons of shows discussing sports, news, politics, entertainment, community affairs, and much, much more. Awesome! And don't forget, if you miss out on one of your favorite shows, you can always access our archived episodes at GoMileHigh.com on your own time.
If I'm here and you're here, doesn't that make it our time?
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform.
certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know, from getting all this great experience working in college radio. It makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
Colorado Media School, hands-on learning in one of the most exciting career fields out there. Internship opportunities are limitless. We have 3 on-campus radio stations, 2 TV stations, and you'll have the opportunity to participate in projects like doing play-by-play live from a sporting event or the 48-hour film project. We have after-graduation career placement assistance and financial aid for those who qualify. Check us out online at coloradomediaschool.com, on Facebook and Instagram, and CO Media School on Twitter and Snapchat. You can also call 303-937-7070.
So I'm taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama.
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence, flowing robes, grace, bald, striking really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing.
Oh.
See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed 2 eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Lama. They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
We are grooving to Van Halen on... Inside the Huddle on the GoMileHigh.com, part of the BeOnAir Network. Again, check us out on GoMileHigh on Facebook and Twitter, or at GoMileHigh on Twitter. And you can always give us a call, 303-937-6548. We're talking about hot seats, people.
Hot seats.
Yeah, hot seats. It's just crazy.
Hot seats.
Since Ben O'Brien has the first one in week 4 is fired, and rightfully so, I think, you know. I mean, I didn't see anything he could have survived after trading away D-Hop. That was probably the dumbest trade in history. I mean, granted, you got David Johnson back in return, but that wasn't close enough. Brandon Cooks couldn't fill that D-Hop role at all.
So one of the things I was thinking about before this segment is that if I'm going to be a future coach for the Houston Texans, I would have a clause in my contract that you cannot fire me within the first 3 years.
Okay.
Okay.
Because you're going to inherit a somewhat bad team, but you still got Deshaun Watson. You do have some, but. You can't just like fire me after the first or second year. You have to give me 3 years.
So, hey, I feel you on this, but just to play devil's advocate here, think about the Browns for all those years, where year after year.
Every year.
But with the Texans, if you look back, they've only had 3 coaches in their entire, 20 years now?
Kubiak and
It was Kubiak and then Dom Capers.
Yeah.
And then Bill O'Brien. Mm-hmm. But, I mean – it's funny that you say that, and it'd be funny to talk to some of those old Browns coaches and see if they tried to lobby for that.
Because I wouldn't. I don't care if I'm Eric Bieniemy,
you
know, saying, hey, you're going to offer me $10 million a year just like Gruden or whatever. I'm going to be like, yeah, you got to give me 3 or 4 years.
Guaranteed. You can walk on that job too, Eric Bieniemy, I believe. Yep. But I think what do you think should happen to Houston right now? Like, should they just blow it all up? I think they should.
I mean,
blow it
their
up.
Their interim coach, Romeo.
Is it Cromwell. Romeo Crennel?
Crennel,
oh,
yeah.
Nice.
So he's the interim coach, and he has head coach experience.
Mm-hmm.
Even okay. though it wasn't that great, but he has
worked under some great head coaches too.
Right. And let's just say, devil's advocate, per Ryan,
mm-hmm.
they go on a 4-4 run.
They still
what 4-8? Yeah, 4-8.
Then no, but I'm saying like, all right, they're 0-4 now. Then they go back and all right, 4-0 run.
Okay,
my apologies.
Okay,
and then things are, then you know it was always the coach.
Sure,
and it's not always the players. And my feeling is that
then he wins the job.
Right. Right. Then at that point, I think you lock yourself into two.
You
two
win
years,
the job. I think years, if it's working, all of a sudden you changed it with the interim coach. He won the job. Well, I don't have to do no interviews. Sorry, right. You got to go someplace else.
Well, let's talk about Dan Quinn. Okay, he's supposed to be the defensive guru.
Oh my goodness!
And his defense sucks. You know
terrible.
What I mean?
Well,
in his situations, it's in the situations of how what he's putting. So there were circumstances that. Green Bay last night, they were at fourth or third and two, but they, you know, Dan Quinn only put three rushers.
To be fair, last night, the Falcons' secondary was decimated. They were putting linebackers in at safety positions. So, to be fair, he's doing the best he can with what he have. I mean, they had like two of his corners go down. I believe a safety went down, and I think they're at least two of them are down for the for near seeable future. So
because of injuries or just
injuries. So yeah. I mean, Green Bay didn't take advantage of that. We'd be talking about that right now instead of the hot seat. So, that doesn't excuse Dan Quinn, but I give him a pass with last night, just last night.
And I feel you, and he's definitely had worse performances than last night.
Yes, those two comebacks, I'm gonna be quiet about those.
Right, but my thing is I was looking at the beginning of the season when I was kind of scouting the team, seeing what the Falcons were gonna look like. They have 17 former first round draft picks on their roster. it's 17 of 53. That's a large percentage. At the end of the day. Dan Quinn, you have been given the opportunity. You have Matt Ryan, who is a savvy veteran, whether you like it or not. He's a savvy veteran. And then on top of that, you have 16 other first-round draft picks. And it's like you won a Super Bowl as a D coordinator, and just everything looks a mess. I can't imagine any Falcon fan wants him at the helm right now.
No.
I'll tell you who I don't want at the helm, who should be fired right next the next game, Matt Patricia. Is this man still has a job? It's beyond me. I mean,
he's
just
3-1.
Wait, the
no, what? Well, I'm about to say 3-1 and
when
what?
Did that happen?
And Madden?
Run drink.
I'll have whatever you're having.
Yeah, 3-1. 3-1 of being a coach. I don't know what's going. This man is horrible, man. He just won his 10th game in his third season.
Yeah.
10th game in three seasons, and you replace somebody. You replace somebody.
Nice, KJ.
You replace somebody at had 9 wins in the season. So it's just I don't.
You know
see
what's saving his butt right now? The Minnesota Vikings being at 1-3.
Yes.
I'm sorry about that. That don't change the fact that you're 10-37.
Well, it kind of reminds me of the Cowboys situation that they had with Jason Garrett for so long. Hey, at least he wasn't a sexy head coach by any means. They go 8-8 or 9-7 every year, but it's better than what they got with Mike McCartney right now, right?
But Detroit has the pieces, though. That's
exactly.
What I'm saying. It's not like you don't have no broken pieces there. They have. Mm-hmm. I mean, you still have
Matt Stafford.
Jones, you have Galladay,
Adrian Peterson.
You know, your defense is so subpar, but you can make it work. That's coaching, so.
Well, those games were always – the Detroit games that I've seen, they weren't high scored. And that probably says something.
Well, and part of that, just being a fan of the Minnesota Vikings for so long in the NFC, NFC North there, they do call that the black and blue division.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes there are a lot of games where it is like 13-17. And
right.
That's an exciting ball game in the NFC.
Yeah, low-scoring games compared to the 49-36.
Right, which is just wild.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Another coach on a hot seat. with the J-E-T-S, Adam Gase.
What a storyline Adam Gase has had as like a coach in the NFL.
What his weird looks?
Right.
Forever.
He got the weirdest looks of any NFL head coach, even with the mask on. Okay. You can see his eyes just the man blink.
Oh my God. I just looked him up online.
Exactly. Yeah. You're like, it's just as crazy. His eyes are just like bug out. I'm like, man, what are you old? Do you even get any sleep, man? He looks like his eyelids is closed halfway.
Look like Al Pacino during any given Sunday.
It's just crazy, man.
Adam Gase has never been. Yeah, and he keeps inheriting bad teams. I'm not trying to stick up for him in a way, but
that's your job as a coach to make him better teams. I'm sorry.
He was stupid enough to get the three-year promise.
Yeah. I mean, you're doing it for a check. I get it. And you get bad players. They don't have the best players, but the Jets can play a lot better. The Giants can play a lot better. Detroit can play a lot better. The Atlanta Falcons could definitely play a lot better. And, the Texans should be playing a lot better than what they are. So it's kind of to see these coaches do subpar. I mean, I hate to see somebody lose their job, but I understand that Ben O'Brien had to go after he did the trade. I say you should fire him.
Okay. Yeah. Who has the best 0-4 team right now?
The best 0-4 team?
I think that is a great question. Let me look at these standings.
I'm going to say the Giants.
No.
I would say
the Texans first.
Okay, yeah, I'll give you that.
And then the Falcons second. And both New York teams could just go float in this Hudson.
I don't know. I think the Giants have something in them. It's just they can't really.
If I had the cash, I'd put $100 on the Houston Texans this week.
Stay off the weed.
Yeah, I say the same thing. I say the same thing.
KJ on 11.
I say the same thing. Stay off it, man. It's crazy. I'll give you that. Houston has like the best chance to kind of back for 0-4 and actually making a season for themselves. But anything other than that, I don't see it.
I'll double down and take my Falcons as the best 0-4 team right now. Just because they, like I said, they had the 17 first overall draft picks or first round picks. Matt Ryan is, he is a veteran quarterback. He's been doing it for 10 years now.
Matty Ice,
baby. So,
but if they weren't plagued with injuries, I would go ahead because they just, Julio Jones just gone.
Calvin Ridley's nice too.
Yeah, well, Calvin Ridley's there. The receiver, not Gage, but Kazi. He just came out that he's going to miss the rest of the season.
Okay.
He just came up, so.
All right, so this week for the 0-4 teams, Carolina at Atlanta, Jacksonville.
Not going to win.
At Houston.
Not going to win.
All right.
Man, that's a terrible
game. Okay, now we got to go. We ran out of time. We'll do that the next time, Triple R here with KJ on Inside the Huddle on the GoMileHigh.com network. We will be here tomorrow.
Yes.
Same time. So hopefully y'all can listen. Thanks.
See ya.